going on out there, everybody? And thank you all so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, the man that found a new fizzy drink this weekend, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. I forgot to bring them in.
Delixir.
Delixir. It's a pickle-flavored seltzer, or what do you want to call it? It's sparkling water.
Yeah, it's a seltzer water, right? It's not non-alcoholic.
Yeah. That's why I was getting. That's why I got confused with my words. Because they're calling them hard seltzers, right? This is a soft seltzer.
He loves White Claws.
I've actually never had one. That's funny. I got that, and there's some other waters. I don't remember the flavors. Limonello. There's a Martin House Brewery that a friend of ours works at. And I guess they have non-alcoholic options, so they started brewing these seltzers, these soft seltzers with no alcohol in them. And they come in a lot of different flavors, and he's been bringing them to me, and they're very, very good.
So what I understand, I talked to him. It's Clayton, our buddy Clayton Bird, the glass bird.
Folks. The glass bird.
You want to check out some cool glass blowing? That's what he does also. So from what I understand, Martin House made the best made pickles. The best made pickles are made over in Fort Worth. The best made pickle place got with Martin House, and they made a dill pickle beer. And so that went over great. And I think they wanted something else that they could sell that was non-alcoholic to people, not Martin House specifically, but the pickle place. And I can't remember the name, but they have we have like a pickle museum or whatnot that's over there, all kinds of stuff. And that's where this dill elixir come from. And it's surprisingly good.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you're hot and sweaty and been mowing a yard and you like dill pickles, pickle seltzer water is a shocker.
I love pickles, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've back in the days when we were just playing lots of sports, I would,
just pickles.
If you want to get rehydrated or you wake up with a hangover, drink some pickle juice, man.
Well, and here's another thing that I wasn't really aware of. Like, we always laugh about what's down in Texas and what's nowhere else. Like, the ridiculousness of mums, right? We've had mums. We still have mums forever. It doesn't really branch out of Texas. But pickles. You go to the movies, there's pickles. The rodeo, there was always pickles at the rodeo. Everywhere you go, there's those big dill pickles.
Yeah,
and they'd be jars of them. So the pickles is just part of the thing. So the pickle beer and the pickle seltzer water and all that, it's actually pretty good.
I need to get into pickling. That would be fun.
Man, what is it? Kimchi.
Yeah.
They do the fermentation. I like the fermentation as well.
Yeah, pickling, canning. I remember helping my grandparents can stuff when I was a kid.
It was fun, right?
I think it was way more popular, but it was that generation.
Yeah.
They grew up when, the Great Depression and all that, I guess.
Like I say, I always laugh because my grandmother saved every rubber band.
Well, there's a fine line between saving and hoarding, right?
She would sit in her kitchen and she had a police scanner. And she had a whole book on, she knew what everything was going on here in town.
She had a code book.
She had all the code book, and she would get the Democrat, the paper here, and she would roll it out and take that rubber band and drop it over the antenna of her scanner.
Uh-huh.
And she would just have an antenna like fountain of rubber bands. It's just a huge stack of rubber bands after a while. And for what reason? I still have no idea. When she died, we threw away stacks of rubber bands. I have no idea.
After our last show, when I talked about the missing clip.
Yes.
That was in my boot. And a lot of people on Patreon went and looked at the photographs. And after seeing the photographs, they're like, there's no way that was in your boot for 3 years. I'm like, that's what I'm telling you. There's no way. But we got a lot of other stories of people that have had similar experiences. And so I'm going to be working on collecting those, putting them together. And then we'll probably do a whole show where it's just listeners writing in with their
missing things showing up.
Missing things disappearing and then reappearing. So they're like, I'm not the only one that has experienced a glitch in the matrix.
Right. A complete glitch in the matrix.
Speaking of listener stories, check this out. It says, August of 2020, I moved to Oklahoma. And in December of 2021, for my 49th birthday, my lifelong Oklahoman girlfriend, Jennifer, surprised me with an overnight stay and murder mystery dinner at the Stone Lion Inn in Guthrie, Oklahoma.
Hey, you know what they say? What? Oklahoma is okay.
Yep, I wasn't aware that at least one of the popular ghost hunting shows visited the place over the years. I wasn't expecting anything like this. After the murder mystery dinner, my girlfriend and I went upstairs to go to bed. Our room featured a front sitting room and a bedroom behind through a doorway. The room was decorated in period furniture, and our bed was a large four-poster with sheer curtains along each of the four sides. Partway through the night, I woke to see Jennifer's shape through the bed sheers. I could see clearly the outline of her petite frame and black curly hair. Jennifer was standing near the foot of the bed, on my side with her back turned, as if she was looking into the sitting room.
Holding a knife!
I mumbled to her about, come back to bed. As I rolled from my side onto my back, but she remained in place. I remember feeling a little confusion about, what was she doing? But within a couple seconds, I fell back asleep. I awoke once more, and Jennifer was still there, standing in the same place. Except it seemed like she was now facing me. But something was off. The shape of her, well, it was different. I tried to say something to her, but I couldn't speak. In fact, I couldn't even move. As I struggled hard to move my arms, to move anything, I realized I may have made a terrible mistake in trying to move, because as I watched what might have been Jennifer watching me from the other side of the shears, I finally got my left elbow to barely move. This was a mistake, because my terror grew frantic. I moved that elbow just maybe half an inch. I bumped into my Jennifer's arm as she lay beside me. It was only then that I realized someone or something else was standing by the bed. The figure behind the shears started moving slightly. Then I saw its left hand slide beside the shears and grasp the bedpost. The hand was pale and thin, and she pulled herself past the curtains, and she climbed up onto the bed.
Uh-oh.
I was beside myself with panic, struggling to comprehend. Standing on the foot of the bed was what looked like a young, preteen girl in an old-style nightgown. Her head, up near the top crossbar as she stood on the bed, had dark, flowing hair, but her face was an absolute blur. She looked like almost pixelated as she faced in my direction. My brain tried earnestly to force myself to make a sound or to move anything to wake my sleeping girlfriend. No luck. Suddenly, the thing on the bed leaned back its head and opened its face. I don't say mouth because the blurry face cracked and opened like a Muppet, or maybe a jack-o'-lantern. Half its blurry face opened wide and then wider still, exposing only a swirling blackness where mouth and throat should be. I didn't know if it was trying to scream at me or attack. The panic in me grew and grew, and against all hope, I managed a short moan through my closed mouth. The second my sound emitted, the figure was gone, and the room was peaceful, as if someone flipped a switch back to reality. Then my body started working again, and I was no longer frozen, but I was still terrified. I lay there in a cold sweat, trying to come to terms with my experience. Going back to fall asleep, it felt like the worst possible step. So I scooched in to Jennifer and lay there awake, cautiously listening for what seemed like an hour before my eyelids grew heavy and I drifted off once again. In the morning, I asked Jennifer if she'd gotten out of bed last night. She confirmed that she stayed in place all night. When I told her my story, she mentioned this B&B was supposedly haunted and that people from all over the state knew about this place, and she talked about the ghost TV show that filmed the location. As scary as it was, I was glad it happened. Jennifer and I have since moved to Pennsylvania, and not even overnights in and around Gettysburg have given me such an experience. Yet, they did. Darren, from Stuartstown, Pennsylvania. Well, thanks, Darren.
Darren, that's creepy.
It almost sounded like a old hag syndrome, right? But then it sounded that this place was evidently haunted and other people have seen this girl, I guess. So what a, it's like a combination of a ghost sighting and sleep paralysis in one.
All I could picture was like that thing from The Ring crawling.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Darren, if you're up there in PA, go to Lancaster. They got to go to Lancaster Archery in Lancaster, PA.
Lancaster, right? We say it wrong, right? Lancaster.
No, we're going to say it the way we want to say it. It's the Thames River, and it's Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
They always get on to people about that because it's called Lancaster, but we have a town near here called Lancaster. So
yeah,
I always stick to my Texas roots.
Look up,
right?
Mahia. Go ahead and look up Mahia, and look up Bernie while you're at it.
Yeah.
Right? The whole thing. Look, I got one that's even... I don't know if it's is more unsettling. I just want you to listen to this and imagine this is happening to you, Philly. Imagine this is something that goes down. Steve says, I live in El Paso, Texas. And first of all, I'm going to start off saying I'm sorry. I've been to El Paso a few times. Hey, look, it had really good food. So it says, on December 1st of 2014, at approximately 1:30 a.m., I was asleep in my bed on my day off from work. Suddenly, I got the sensation of floating above the bed. I awoke and instantly dropped to the bed. Upon awakening, I remember hearing voices. Now, I assumed that the voices were what woke me up and that someone was outside. I lived on 7 acres and my house was at the far back of the road. To hear voices meant that someone was in my yard. So I grabbed my gun and I went to the window, which of course was open as the night was cool and I didn't want to run the air conditioner. So I sat and listened for a few minutes, but I heard nothing. So I decided to go check on my daughters to see if they were awake. I placed my gun on the bed, crept back into their rooms. Both girls were asleep. Returned to my bed, went to sleep with my gun beside the bed for the rest of the night. The next morning, I awoke with discomfort in my chest along the bottom of the sternum. It wasn't painful, but it felt like, man, there's something there. I don't know what, but when you reach your 40s, the cartilage will deteriorate. So I felt my chest and I felt a triangular-shaped structure in my chest and just assumed that it had fused strangely. I just never noticed this before and it was sticking out, raising the skin around it. This discomfort lasted about a week and a half to 2 weeks and then slowly dissipated over that time. So, of course, I dismissed all of this as mere coincidence as I didn't believe in this sort of thing. On December 3rd of 2016. Now, all right, the first one happened December 1st of 2014. Fast forward, December 3rd, 2016, 1:37 a.m. I'm asleep in my bed. My wife has moved back in with me. We'd been separated for about 8 years. So she brought her two dogs, Chihuahuas, okay? The white one slept between us, the black one who slept on my wife's side of the bed. I awoke suddenly to the sensation of floating above the bed, and immediately I felt the drop, and I landed on Alex, one of the dogs, who was under the covers. Both times I've landed above the covers. She yelped very loudly, woke everyone up in the house. My wife asked, what happened? I said, I don't know, but I landed on the dog. Was I floating above the bed? She replied that she didn't know as she reached and started comforting Alex the dog. The next morning, I felt this discomfort in my ear, which lasted about 4.5 weeks. Once again, it didn't hurt. It just felt like a slight nagging earache that wouldn't go away. Then, on November 30th of 2017 at 7:30 a.m., another incident occurred in Tucumcari, New Mexico.
You were there not that long
ago. Not long ago. I'm a truck driver, and I stopped at the Love's Travel Center for the night. I think that's the one on the south side of 40. So it says, my younger daughter was riding with me. We got up in the morning. If you're there in Tucumcari, go to Dell's. It's a great place to eat. It's right there on old Route 44 or old Route 66. Dell's Diner. I've been there since 1956, I think. Good place to grub.
Cam's got his own Michelin guide going. Okay, cool.
I've got it working out. Yeah. A unique thing there. If you like steak fingers, it's sirloin steak. They make their own little steak fingers. They were really good.
Who doesn't like steak fingers?
Right? Who doesn't? It was really, really good. So he says, when I got up in the morning, we went to take showers, went in there, and we went to get breakfast. We returned to our truck to eat our breakfast. And as I began to say a prayer over the food, I heard this beeping noise, and I stopped praying. I told my daughter, I said, hey, sweetheart, I think your watch is beeping. She looked at the watch, said, no, my watch is on silent. So I told her that I could hear beeping noise from somewhere in the truck. She stated that she didn't hear anything. I noticed that as I moved around the truck trying to find what was beeping, that the aspect to the sound never changed, nor did it intensify the noise. So I told her, I think it's coming from my ear. Now, she had been getting over a cold, but she still had a cough. So she coughed kind of loud, and my ear rang very loud. So I jammed my finger in it and exclaimed, oh, that feels so much better. She said, what happened? So I told her that when she coughed, it made my ear ring. I told her that when she was talking, it was making my ear ring also. It literally sounds like someone speaking into a microphone while standing too close to the speakers. So we had to load to go pick up at Los Lunas, New Mexico, going to Walmart in El Paso. And then we were going to take a few days off. So I told her, when we get to that Walmart, I'm going to pick up some earplugs because this ringing is killing me. We made our delivery, went to the store, grabbed the earplugs, and as we're walking through the store, they announced over the PA, something, I'm not sure, and my daughter was on my left side. I grabbed my ear and bent down. My ear rang out loudly. My daughter said, "What happened?" I said, "I don't know." We got to the intercom, and when they got off the intercom, I realized it had made my earring. So she said, "Is that what that noise was?" I said, "What noise?" I asked, not believing that she could hear this noise from my ear. She mimicked the noise and exclaimed, "How can you hear what's going on with that in your ear?"
The sound was coming out of his ear?
She could hear it. Says, "I don't know." She says, "I don't know, but I heard the noise in your ear." So I told her that I needed to buy one of those scopes that doctors use to look in my ear. She told me that Walmart sells them over in the pharmacy section. So we bought an otoscope. And when we got home, she looked in my left ear and found a very shiny metallic object just above the eardrum attached to the ear canal with three legs on each side. Now, I've shown this to many people and no one knows what it is. I'm hesitant to see a doctor for fear that they might be required to report this. The beeping is constant, 24 hours a day. It's driving me crazy. And I have to carry earplugs with me in case I go to a loud area and they begin to ring. I'm looking for help to determine what this device is and who put it there. I need a better otoscope with a dimmable light source because the object is very reflective and it washes out the image on my phone's camera. Any help would be appreciated. Thank you, Steve.
Well, Steve, you've got a problem.
You think?
I think being scared that it might go reported by going to see a doctor is the least of your worries. You've been tagged by an extraterrestrial and they're going to come back and find you.
It sure seems that way.
Right? Because he was asleep and he kept having the feeling of floating.
And landing on top of your covers?
Above the covers. Yeah, he's been abducted.
And whoever it was a rookie making this abduction mistake, and they put that in your ear not realizing you're going to be able to hear it.
Yeah.
Wow. But Steve never points out what that was on his sternum.
Yeah, that's
weird. He's not talked about that yet, just like this was raised skin, this whole thing. Yeah, Steve, for real.
Go get it taken out.
Absolutely. Get this thing found. Go get it, whatever it takes. Go get that thing checked out. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense whatsoever. It's creepy.
Well, it's time to pay some bills around here, so let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Hey, y'all, the days are getting longer. Spring is here and summer's just around the corner, which means a lot more activities, outdoor activities, fishing, camping, hiking. You need lots of fresh energy. You need time to fit into your wellness routines. Hopefully you're starting to exercise this year and get up off your butt and do something that's going to help you. And I know that this is going to help you. Now, you can go to the store. You can go to any of these outlet shops at the mall or around town, and you can assemble a wide list of, you know, all kinds of vitamins and supplements, taking up two or three cabinets worth of space. Or you can do like I do and just drink AG1, right? AG1 has 75 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality.
How many?
75.
Wow.
And it's a health elixir, and it's all just in one scoop. I wake up in the mornings, get me a cold glass of water, put one scoop of AG1 in there, I mix it up, I drink it. Not only does it make me feel good, it tastes good. I do it every time. I love it. AG1 is an effortless part of my life. It can become an effortless part of your life, too. I know Cam is a big fan of it.
I love it.
He's been drinking it. That's why we've been partnered with him for so long.
Man.
I mean, I can totally tell a difference when I forget
Yes.
to get a drink of AG1. In fact, in my truck and both of my cars, I keep travel packs in the glove box in case I get busy, I get distracted, get Luke to school, and then I'm at work, and before I realize, crap,
I need it.
I forgot my AG1. No problem. I pull over, give me a bottle of water, put the travel pack in there. I'm good to go. Right back on schedule. Cam, you love it.
Well, and I'll tell y'all one of the main reasons that I really enjoy it, especially now and with the health kicks and all the stuff that we're learning now, is that not only is AG1 made with high quality ingredients, but it's also tested for over 500 herbicides and pesticides.
That's important.
So they make sure that none of that is in there, folks. And look, y'all know how much we love it. And drinking AG1 now is offering new subscribers. If you love it like we do, AG1's got new subscribers. Free $76 gift when y'all sign up. You'll get a welcome kit. You'll get a bottle of D3K2 and not one, not two, not three, not four, but five free travel packs in your first box. Super simple, super easy. Just make sure to go check it out. You go to drinkag1.com/expanded. It's like we've always done it. Super simple, super easy. That's where you're going to get this offer, okay? drinkag1.com/expanded to start your new year on a healthier note.
On Monday's show, I read some very interesting stories that were sent to us by listeners, and a few I found on the internet. On today's show, I've got more stories sent from you, the listener, to expanded perspectives. I hope you enjoy them. Let's begin. Hey guys, I love the show, and wanted to send you this story. This happened to me back in 2007, and it still haunts me to this day. Back in 2007, a friend of mine showed me how to use Google Maps. A few years before this, I was in a terrible car accident. Since then, I really didn't leave the house that often. It's difficult, and the idea of seeing a car drive by makes me feel lightheaded. Anyways, I was fascinated by the fact that I could now see all over the world. It was almost like being there. I could virtually walk down the streets, and it almost felt like I was really there. Well, I became instantly hooked. It gave me a real eye on the world. I could go to almost any major city, and I did. I'd seen streets in China, Japan, Germany, and England. So many places. I'd even gone to tourist attractions, like the Great Barrier Reef and Dracula's Castle. My favorite was to go to random places in major cities and see how many people and animals I could find. The faces of the people were always blurred to protect their privacy, but it was still enjoyable to see them out there, enjoying their life, walking like it was no big deal. She must have good taste, I'd laugh. I zoomed in closer and noticed the gray bag she carried on a gray and purple shoulder strap. She was walking in a relaxed manner, one hand trailing the wall beside her. I bet if I could have seen her face, I would see that she was smiling. I began to feel a little sad. I let my hands fall onto the arms of my wheelchair and looked at her for a minute more. I wished that I could be there, walking so carefree with her. That wouldn't happen, though, until I died. I was stuck in this chair. I sighed and zoomed out of Tokyo. Enough of this for tonight. I turned off my computer and I went to bed. I got up early and decided to look around Paris. Paris was always fun. I liked the look of the city, with all of the old, beautiful buildings and so many people to watch. I randomly zoomed to an area and saw a street lined with old brick buildings, a few small shops, and an old tan brick church. Ahead was an intersection, and dozens of people walked by. A balding businessman walked quietly past, looking back at an old woman, hair covered with a scarf, carrying a large purse. A curvy woman in black pants that were too tight stared into a store window, and two women led a group of small children around a corner. I spun the view around a few more times and then saw something peculiar. Sitting on the bench at the bus stop were two people. One of them was a young woman with her feet stuck out in front of her in a relaxed manner. She was wearing a pair of red sneakers, just like my own. I was startled for a moment as I noticed the black pants, white t-shirt, and black hooded jacket. Her dark brown hair was tied loosely behind her head. A gray bag sat on the bench beside her, the shoulder strap hooked over her shoulder. "This is crazy," I thought. "It can't possibly be the same woman. This is a different country, a different continent even. How could it be her?" This was stupid. It wasn't as if these were live photographs. They were taken ahead of time and then stored. It's not like she was in two places at once. She could just be a traveler. Besides, Without seeing her face, it was impossible to tell if it really was the same person. Brown hair was probably the most common hair color in the world, and those red sneakers were something I purchased online. I'm sure a million other people did too. I shook my head, and I went to fix some lunch. When I got back online, I decided to go look at Berlin. I picked a random street as usual. It looked pretty empty. There were brick buildings lining the streets, looking more like factories than anything else. There were also empty lots, full of long grass and piled gravel. There wasn't much to see at all, really. There was a line of motorbikes and a car with two German flags sticking up from it. After some more searching, I found a kid. He looked like he was dressed for school, a jacket thrown over his bag. He was intently looking at some kind of mobile device. I was disappointed. I started to leave, but then I caught something out of the corner of my eye. I turned the view, and there they were. Those damned red sneakers. She was standing on a street corner, next to some kind of signpost. She had a hand on the post, looking down the street, as if to cross the street. I stared in shock. How could she be there too? Even if she was traveling, there's no way I would find her every time. Even finding her in Paris would have been one heck of a coincidence. But this? This was crazy. Was this some kind of joke? I began to wonder, had Google decided to play a prank on some of its users that used their product so much? It would have been a great joke. I did a quick search looking for a note about a woman that shows up like, you know, like Waldo. And there was nothing. I looked through articles on strange things you can see on Google Maps, but none of them mentioned the woman that travels the world with you. This was crazy. Had my self-imposed isolation driven me mad? I began to wonder. Had I become so lonely that I created a hallucination for myself? Leaving the Berlin image on my screen, I sent a text to a friend, asking him to look at the same locations. I asked him if he saw the same woman. Then I waited, hands sweating, heart thumping in my chest. I jumped when my phone beeped with a return text message 10 minutes later. The text read, "I see the lady you're talking about in Berlin. I didn't see her in Paris or Tokyo. Is this some kind of game or what? Are you okay?" I didn't respond, instead returning to the locations in Tokyo and Paris. There she was. She was there. But it was different. She no longer sat on the bus stop bench in Paris. She was standing in front of it, looking for something in her bag. In Tokyo, she was blocks away, squatting down to pet a calico cat. I shivered. Who was she? What was happening? I switched the map to Brussels. It was another city street. It was lined with old-looking buildings, with shops on the ground level, and what I guessed was apartments above. I quickly scanned the streets. They were empty, other than a stocky woman in a bright blue sweater. I did a second sweep. She wasn't there. I sighed in relief. I couldn't believe I was getting so worked up about this. It was nothing but a coincidence. And then I stopped, my eyes frozen on the screen. There was a building at the point of a fork in the road, white with black ironwork framed balcony jutting from the second floor. I hadn't seen her, as I had been looking at the sidewalks. There she stood, standing on the balcony, her head tilted in the direction of the camera, almost like she was coyly looking at me. My breath caught in my throat. I switched to Sydney. She was leaning against the wall, inside the doorway of a bright blue Carex pharmacy building. London showed her getting ready to step onto a red double-decker bus, her head turned to look over her shoulder. She was everywhere I looked. She stood on a brick sidewalk, on a bridge in Venice. She walked across a yellow barred crosswalk in Zurich, and in Hong Kong, she stood between a Wing Lung Bank and a McDonald's, adjusting the strap on her bag. In each picture, she came closer and closer to directly looking at me with her blurred out face. My heart felt like a terrified bird slamming around inside my chest. I couldn't catch my breath. I wasn't sure what to do. I couldn't call the police. Should I send screenshots to Google? I clenched my fist tightly and closed my eyes. Who was she? Was she following me? Or was I following her? I wish I could see the expression on her face. Know what she saw when she looked back at me. I wanted to get out of the chair and run. Why is it that the only thing that made me feel free again was the thing that made me feel even more trapped? I had to know. I typed in the name of my town and zoomed into a random street. It was a couple of miles from my house. The gates to the city park were shown in the clarity of daylight, despite it being night here. But there she was. There. 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 She was. At this point, she was only a few miles from my house, standing under the ironwork arch that stated the name of the park. She looked directly at the camera. Directly at me, I felt. I felt I might throw up at this point. She was near me, and she was watching me. She was coming for me, I believe. What could she want? I typed in the name of the apartment complex where I live, and I could see the outside of the building. The parking lot was full of cars, and there were a few blurred out children on the playground. I searched everywhere for her. She wasn't in the parking lot or on the sidewalks, not hiding between the buildings or standing in the playground. I even scanned each of the cars, behind the bushes, in each of the blurred windows. She wasn't there. I curled tightly around myself and laid my head down on my desk. This place was safe. I didn't leave the apartment anyways. I would never use Google Maps again. I would never see her again. She could stay at the park for all I cared. I smiled to myself and was surprised to find a tear slipping down my face. I'm safe, I said to myself in a whisper. Man, it felt good to hear it out loud. I'm safe. And as I said it, there was a knock at the door. A chill ran down my spine. I had a camera hooked to my computer that showed whoever was at my front door, which made it easier for me, you know, with my mobility issues. I slowly reached for the control to show myself who was outside, and my hand trembled furiously. As I touched the control, I realized my mistake. The last of Google's images that I had seen had only shown the outside of the building, just the outside. I looked at the screen and I saw a woman in a white t-shirt, black pants, black hooded jacket, and carrying a gray bag with a purple and gray striped shoulder strap. Of course, there were those red sneakers. She looked directly at the camera, but her face was still a complete blur. As I tried to stifle a scream, she raised a hand and knocked loudly on my front door. I just waited and hoped she'd go away. Or was it just a neighbor or pizza delivery guy, and I had somehow become confused? I just sat there listening. Again, someone was knocking at my door. I was petrified. There was no way in hell I was going to answer the door. I didn't have any real weapons. Maybe a kitchen knife, but what would that do? So, I just waited and waited and waited longer. No more knocks came. After about 3 hours, which felt like a day, I finally got the nerve to look at my computer, but nothing was on the camera. Even though there didn't appear to be anyone standing there, I still was not going to open my front door. Well, nothing ever happened. The next day came and went. Slowly, the days turned to weeks, and then the months, and now years. I still don't know who or what was at my front door that day. And now, all of these years later, whenever someone knocks on my front door, I always pause for a moment. And I'm sent back to that frightful day. Thanks again for all you guys do. Your friend, Mark. Hey guys, I wanted to tell you that I'm a big fan of your show and Elite, and it would be my pleasure if you choose to read my story. But anyways, here it is. It seems so cliched to start by saying, I don't believe in ghosts, but that's where I'm coming from. A few years ago, I moved into a one-bedroom apartment in Melbourne, Australia. It was my first time living on my own. The apartment block had been built in the 1930s. I'd been there for a few months when I came home from work one day and went into the bathroom. That's when I saw something strange. The wooden board covering a hole in the ceiling that led to a small attic space lay broken in two pieces on the ground. I examined the broken pieces. The board was at least an inch thick, and it would have taken Bruce Lee, I believe, to break it. I thought the landlord had sent someone up to work on the attic. I was frozen stiff with fear. I thought, someone's got to be up there, for sure. I emailed some pictures to the landlord, asking if anyone had been there. With an undertone of annoyance, she said she hadn't warned me. Her reply read, "Please call me as soon as you are able to." I called and she explained that her last two tenants had said the same thing had happened to them. She promised to replace the board, and she did, and life went on normal for about another month. Then, I woke up one night, around 4 a.m. I had so many goosebumps, it felt like someone was rubbing his or her hands on me. Everything was silent. But then, I heard this sound coming from above my bed. It was a dragging sound, like someone pulling a sack of potatoes. I was frozen stiff with fear. I thought, someone is up there for sure. There is no way an animal could make that sound. After 5 minutes, I managed to work up the courage to turn on the light and walk into the bathroom. I was armed with a cricket bat. When I looked, I saw the new board covering the hole was broken in two. I felt sick. The dragging sound had stopped, but I heard something else. It sounded like someone was whispering. The sound was clear, and it was coming from the attic. It sounded like children's voices, and I could hear one sentence repeated over and over. It would say, "It's your turn. It's your turn." I switched on every light in the apartment to make things feel normal. It was 5 a.m. and dark outside, so I watched some TV to try to unwind. Then a fuse blew. My pet budgie, Dexter, whom I kept in the kitchen, usually never made a sound at night, but he started squawking like he was being strangled. I'd never heard him make those sort of noises before. It sounded like he was screaming. I grabbed my car keys and I ran out. I sat in my car and waited there until the sun came up. When I saw some people walking their dogs, well, this kind of comforted me, enough to go back in. The front door was open, but I could swear that I closed it when I ran out. I went to the kitchen to check on Dexter, and he wasn't in his cage. I felt sick all over again. All of my windows were closed, so I looked everywhere inside. When I walked into the bathroom, I heard some splashing. Dexter was half drowned in the toilet. I took him out. I washed him and dried him. I was so confused. At 8 a.m., I called the landlord and I gave her a watered-down version of what happened that night. "Oh, wow, you heard the whispering too," she said. I stayed in that apartment for another 18 months. I heard the whispering on a few occasions, and twice the board covering the hole in the ceiling was broken or moved. Although I live elsewhere, the landlord recently called me. She said that her new tenants had begged to speak with me about some of the stuff that I had seen while I was living there. I told her to forget it. It's their problem now. And I expressed how angry I was that she knew this type of stuff was going on in that apartment, but never told me about it. Anyway, I don't know what it was. A ghost? A spirit? I don't care. It scared the hell out of me. Anyways, keep up the good work. Your friend, Karen. Hey guys, you're always asking for people to send you their own stories or encounters to the show. Well, I don't have anything paranormal to share with you, but I do have something that happened to me that I think was pretty scary, so here it is. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, my parents had just separated. My mom was living in a two-bedroom apartment. I had my own room, but I liked sleeping in her bed whenever I was staying with her. Our two bedrooms were at the end of a hallway, directly across from each other. Our apartment was on the first floor, and I remember that it was in the middle of the summer, and my mom had a window open in her bedroom that was directly behind the bed, you know, above the headboard. Anyways, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I remember sitting up and seeing that our cat was sitting in the doorframe of my mom's room. Our door was open, so you could partially see into my bedroom. It was strange because our cat was a huge snuggler and was typically always in bed with us. As I was watching him, he walked into my bedroom and meowed. I turned to face my mom and wake her up. In the 3 or 4 seconds it took her to wake up and ask me what was wrong, we both looked back up in the doorframe, and there was a man standing by my open door, making his way out of my bedroom. Now, I still don't know how she managed to do it so quickly, but my mother proceeded to pick me up and literally throw me out of the screen window. Again, our apartment was on the first floor, so you're talking about maybe a 2 or 3 foot drop. She quickly followed, and we were able to start screaming for help, and someone called 911. The police came, but they didn't see any signs of forced entry, only that our front door was unlocked, which led them to believe that the man must have exited that way. The strange thing was, my mom swore up and down that she knows that she locked the door that night. She even locked the deadbolt and the chain lock. About a week later, she was cleaning the kitchen and opened up our water heater closet and found a notebook with some names, some drawings, as well as a pair of gloves and some chewing gum wrappers. The man had been in our house and hid until we were asleep, then made his escape. Now, I know that this is not a ghost story or a time slip, but it still scared the hell out of me. Even today, I'm 45 years old. I still make sure that I check every door, window, and closet before I go to bed each night. Perhaps you should do the same. Your friend, Aaron. Hey, Kyle and Cam. I love the show. I have a story I would like to share. As a teenager, 18 years ago, I had the opportunity to bloat my piggy bank by babysitting my neighbor's twins. They were 7 years old and pretty naughty, but did all the things at the right time, eating, sleeping, playing, etc. I never really had any problems with them and loved to babysit them. Once, I was asked to take care of them for 8 hours, from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. on a Saturday. The kids usually go to bed around 9-ish, and I thought, I'll at least have 2 hours to watch some TV. So, I was preparing the bed for the kids in their rooms when one of them asked if I could stay in the room with them. When I asked him why, he said he is scared to sleep alone and said that his mom usually stays in until they both fall asleep. I accepted and agreed to stay until they fell asleep. So, I just started to narrate a bedtime story when I heard someone walking in the hallway. It was quite surprising to me because Miss Fletcher told me that she wouldn't be home till around 11, and it was only 9:15 at this time. I called out her name, and I had no response. So, the curious young blood of mine wanted me to go check and see who it was. I obliged to my curiosity and stopped reading the story to the kids and stood up when I heard the noise again. This time, more like running, but just outside the door. The hallway is a straight line with rooms on both sides leading to the living room. I immediately opened the door and I did not see anyone. Slowly getting scared inside, I brushed aside my assumptions and turned the lights on in every part of the house. I wanted to be brave, as it would be hard to control the kids if they saw me paranoid. So, I checked the house for any intruder, but no one was there. I bolted the doors again and walked back into the kids' room. And suddenly, I felt someone behind me, like a cold and heavy breathing. I turned back, but no one was there. I once again brushed my thoughts aside and just told myself that my mind is tired. This time, the hallway seemed a bit cold, and that's not something that is common in Kansas in August. Nevertheless, I checked the temperature of the apartment, and it was set to a fixed 75 degrees, but the temperature of the house was 63 degrees. I was surprised because things were normal a few minutes ago. So, I adjusted the temperature and waited until the temperature improved to 73 degrees. After that, I went back into the kids' room. One of them asked why I looked so tense. I didn't want to frighten the kids, so I didn't say anything about my feeling. To lighten the mood, I made them sing and dance for a while, but that made them even more tired, so they quickly fell asleep. So by 10:15, I still had 45 minutes or so before Miss Fletcher's return. While I was trying to forget what happened earlier, the sense of being watched suddenly started to creep in. So I decided to watch some TV to divert myself. The moment I switched on the TV, I felt someone right next to me on the couch. I turned to my right, and no one was there. But the feeling just would not go away. The reclining chair on the corner of the room started to shake, as if someone had touched it. I immediately turned my attention to the chair and noticed something that I could not explain properly. It was a dark, dwarf-like shadow that just went past the chair. I was shocked, but then, since there are trees in the neighborhood and the lights are on in the apartment, I immediately told myself that it was the shadow of some of these trees, and I didn't want my mind to believe that it could be anything else. So, then I turned back to the TV, and I heard a loud bang in the kid's room, and suddenly, one of the twins started to cry. I ran to the room to see if he was all right, only to find him on the floor. Now, he said an old man pushed him from the bed again. I was shocked. I told the kid that there is no old man in the apartment, and it was just me and them. The kid showed me his leg, and I could see an imprint of a hand on his leg. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I ruled out the possibility that the other twin pulled him down, as the mark on the leg was not from a kid's hand. It was as big as mine. I went out of the room to check the apartment, but as it happened before, the hallway was empty, and no one was there to be found. I locked the kid's room from the inside, and I sat next to them. I comforted the kids and put them to bed and stayed in the room when I started to hear the footsteps again. I shouted by requesting whoever it was to leave the kids and go out of the apartment. The footsteps stopped right outside the door. I was not sure whether to open the door or not. After some 5 minutes, which seemed like an eternity, I opened the door and saw the same shadow, the one I saw next to the chair. I saw it this time on the wall, unmoved. I kept staring at it for a few seconds, when it slowly moved away and disappeared out of the hallway. Now, I was totally convinced that it was not the shadow of a tree, because the hallway doesn't have any windows, and the only light that falls in the hallway is from the light that was on. I started to panic and immediately called Miss Fletcher, and she said she'll be home in less than a minute. It was a big relief for me. I immediately narrated all the incidents to her as soon as she got back home, and she rushed to the kids' room to see what happened to her sons. She fell on her knees and started to cry, and then she said, "This is not the first time she has been experiencing this. Thus far, the entity has never harmed her or the kids, so she never felt it as trouble. But now, since it was able to touch and harm the kids, she was starting to get very worried. I called my mom, who happened to be a tarot card reader with a bit of experience in communicating with spirits, to come to Miss Fletcher's house immediately. As soon as my mom entered the apartment, even before we narrated the story to her, she started to stare at the hallway and asked us if everything was okay. I was shocked to see my mom react this way, because she did not take her eyes off the hallway while asking us a few questions. This scared me. But still, I kept asking my mom why she was staring at the hallway. She refused to answer and told Miss Fletcher to sleep at our house with the kids for the night. The next morning, my mom and Miss Fletcher invited a priest to their apartment to have it blessed. Miss Fletcher stayed there for a couple of years before she decided to move out of the neighborhood. She had a transfer because of her job from Kansas to Texas. Recently, 5 years ago, when my mom and myself were having a discussion about how hard it was for her to raise me when I was young, I suddenly remembered this incident. Since I was old enough to understand her now, I asked her why she acted in such a way at Miss Fletcher's house that night. She explained to me that she saw a man who had a hunchback looking at us from down the hallway. The man looked very upset and angry, and she immediately felt a negative energy run through her after entering the house. She started to sense that it was not advisable to stay there until the entity was controlled. She asked Miss Fletcher to bring the kids and stay with us. I was speechless for a minute, and then I told my mom that I'm proud of myself, that I still managed to safeguard the kids, and surviving 2 hours of hide-and-seek with a hunchbacked old man. I did not know who it was, or have I ever seen this thing again, but those 2 grueling hours in that apartment has given me every reason to not forget the incident. Thanks again, Katie. Thank you.
This episode is brought to y'all by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor.
Yes, I've always wanted a snack sponsor. Yes.
IQ Bar.
Goal unlocked.
That's right. IQ Bar is the better for you plant protein based snack made with brain boosting nutrients to refuel, nourish, and satisfy hunger without that annoying sugar crash.
Yeah.
Now look, folks, y'all have heard us talk about this before. I love them. I didn't think I was going to like them because I'm not really down with plant protein and plant-based snacks. But like a lot of other times in my life, I have been proven wrong. I enjoy them so much. I also don't care for mint. Turns out I do. Mint chocolate chip is one of my faves. I also like the lemon blueberry, the chocolate sea salt bars. Oh, there's all kinds of banana nut, toasted coconut chip. I don't know where to stop. Do you like peanut butter? They got peanut butter chip bars, folks. They are great. They're free from gluten, free from dairy, free from GMOs, free from soy, no artificial sweeteners. It really is great. My wife is obsessed with the mushroom coffees, all of that stuff. Kyle loves the drink powders.
The hydration mixes are my favorite, man.
Dude, they are the best. And here's something even crazy. You want to wrap your head around this? Don't take my word for it. Don't even take Kyle's word for it.
No.
But there is over 20,000 five-star reviews, and they're still rolling in of people just like you and I starting their days off on the right foot with IQ bars. You want your brain, your body boosting bars? You want a snack sponsor? Then you need to check out IQ Bar.
That's right. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products. Plus, get free shipping. To get your 20% off, you just got the text expanded. That's EXPANDED. Text expanded to 64,000. That's right. Text expanded to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
There we go.
Yes.
Since little teaser
I got
there.
A crazy story, Cam, I think you're going to like because of the subject matter.
Okay.
You love this subject. This is probably your favorite subject of all time.
Oh, what do you got for me?
It says, hello. I thought that I would write to you. I'm 60 years old, right? Well, that's something that a 60-year-old person would say, right? Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for saying
that. I'd write to you. I'm 60 years old, and this is something that happened to me when I was only 10 years old. I've always been able to remember this memory extremely clearly, unchanging, and not fuzzy like remembering a dream. We lived in a trailer situated in a cow field out in the country of County of McMinn, Tennessee.
So I'm guessing this would be around 1975 that this takes place.
It says, my sister and I slept in a bunk bed with me on the bottom. The hall light outside of our bedroom was always left on for us, and there was plenty of light in the room at night. I woke up in the middle of the night, and the closet door was open only about 8 inches. My eyes had just opened up, staring straight into the black of the closet without moving my head. I could sense something was moving in there. A very tiny little man was holding hands with a tiny little woman behind him, and they were sneaking out of the closet. They were very slow and careful in their movements. I did not move at all, but stared, transfixed. They stopped and looked around, puzzled. I think they could sense someone staring at them. He looked up and locked eyes with me for a good 2 seconds. It scared them to death, and they ran underneath my bed. I instantly became terrified. I laid back on my back for the longest time until I finally calmed down a little. I slowly looked under the bed, but they were gone. There was a shoe under my bed, and I assumed they were in the shoe hiding, but I didn't dare touch it. I laid awake in my bed for a long time and eventually fell asleep. They were about 10 inches tall.
Yes.
Their hair looked like it might have been brown. I'm not sure how long it was. I also can't remember exactly what their clothes looked like. When you were young, you just don't think or care about the style of clothes people wear. They just looked like tiny, normal people. They didn't have wings or some odd skin color. They just looked like normal, tiny people, only 10 inches tall. I remember them looking like white people, but they could have been Native American now that I think about it. Again, this isn't something that really registers when you're 10 years old. I love this story, and I've told this story to friends and family all of my life. It was extremely weird because this was in 1975. Good call, Cam.
Nailed it.
And I never had any books about fairies when I was little. It wasn't until I went to college that I could find decent books that covered myths about fairies and brownies. Then, when the internet thing came along, I was able to find out that the Cherokee Indians that lived here in eastern Tennessee do have myths about little people. And then, of course, your show talks about the fae all the time. Nancy.
That is awesome.
Right? Little people like that.
I love it.
It reminds me of like the Indian in the cupboard. Remember the show?
Yes.
Tiny people.
I love it.
They always have... And a lot of the accounts of these fae people is they're finely dressed. Like they're dressed very snazzy, right? Nice hat. Which would make sense because in those days, a lot of men wore hats, right? Not like now.
You got some fancy fedora.
Yeah, if you go back and look at the way people dressed in the 50s, everybody wore suits, hats. It was a thing. And now
it looked good.
I wonder how that changed, right?
I don't know, but I could get down on some of that.
Well, you go to the store sometimes and you're like, this guy's 30 years old and he's wearing his pajamas.
That's because he's got sleepy legs.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm turning into the old man.
His legs are sleepy.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Like when you said they look like normal, they didn't look like gnomes.
Right.
They look like just tiny people. It makes me think of Men in Black, too.
Oh, yeah.
You remember when they open up the thing, the door? He opens the one door at the very end of it?
Yeah.
And it looks like they're in like Times Station or whatever, or Central Station rather, because it's a whole deal and they look tiny. I'm like, that's what it makes me think of.
Yeah.
Because it's like those Russian nesting dolls. We're just, everybody's in different areas and different sizes of this whole thing. Before we get out of here, I want to share this with y'all. Lon got this wrapped up. And this was a really cool sighting, I think. This is interesting. This comes from a fellow named Jerry Ford, a retired Army SFC. It says, in 1981, in Fort Wayne, Alaska, I was an 18-year-old private. We were there for extreme cold weather training. So we went up to one of the high mountains behind the base. It took 3 hours just to get to the top. Now, mind you, this is in January. After we put up our tent, we go to walk out around the camp, started hearing what I later learned were whoops and screams at about 150 meters. There, we saw a huge black thing walking on the side of the mountain. Now, it had no backpack or clothes on, unless it was a hairy jumpsuit. And as a young private, I thought it was a bear walking. And 4 days later, we returned to Fort Wayne and got to have 2 days leave. Now, I had met a Native Alaskan lady there, and her mother managed the bar where we were in. So I started talking to her about what I saw, and the mother overheard me and said, bears are not out right now. And what I saw was a hairy man. And so I asked her, what's that? My girlfriend said, that's our name for a Sasquatch. I said, okay, well, what's that? And she gave me a book about it. Now, I don't remember who wrote it, and that was how I learned about them. Now, fast forward to 2021. Behind my house in Kentucky, around late March at the first 2 weeks of April, late at night, around 100 hours to 230 hours, there are whoops and loud screams, almost just like what I heard in Alaska. And this has gone on every year since and will happen again soon. Last year in July, I was riding my horse in the woods behind my house. Now, you can ride for hours back there. And while riding the horse, he started acting a little skittish, tried to turn around and run on me. I got off him and tied him to a tree and started walking ahead of us. And about 25 foot from where I were and where the horse was at, I found a lot of bones, at least 4 deer and coyote, full sets of bones, 5 rabbits, and a couple of turkeys. And soon I started feeling like I needed to leave the area now. So I did. And that's the end of my story.
Wow.
So I love the story to where...
What he needs to get is a Talon SS.
What I love is, and you remember, it's like I had brought this up a while back, my buddy Daryl that I used to work with, that had heard those sounds when he was a kid in East Texas. And his father had told him, you know, you can't go in the woods. Those are mountain lion. Fast forward years later, Daryl's daughter, who's almost a teenager or so, was in school, going to do a whole segment or a whole research paper on mountain lions. Goes in and finds it, and he has to play it off when she's playing the screams and
that's right, growls, yeah.
Because he's like, oh, yeah, honey, that's it and all that. It wasn't until they were in bed that he told his wife, that's not what I heard.
Yeah.
None of that is. It wasn't until a few days later that he finds out, oh, yeah, I think he looked it up, or his kids or whatever, looked of the Finding Bigfoot, where they start playing those howls and screams and whoops. And that's when he's like, okay, yeah, that's what I heard.
My favorite is the Sierra Sounds.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The whole thing. The whole deal. The way they, it sounds like Mad Samurai.
And there's a lot of sightings of Bigfoot and stuff in Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is.
I'd hang out there, too.
It is. It really is. West Virginia and Kentucky are beautiful states.
All of it's. That's a beautiful area.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Parts of Tennessee.
And
other parts aren't so
well. Nice. And same as like with Arkansas. Like parts of Arkansas. Like I love the mountainous area.
Oh, yeah.
The
Ozarks and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
But when you see those spots, and we've talked about this before, there's a lot of areas all through like Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Missouri, you start getting that have like devil or something, where you always like, why do they name that Devil's Hollow? Or like, what's that? It always makes me wonder, right? Is like, was it because of Sasquatch running around down there?
I think so.
I like to believe so. But I do like the idea of him finding out about it in the 80s in Alaska, and then fast forward to years later, hearing the same thing.
Man.
And then now he hears it every spring.
That's crazy.
That's makes sense, right? They're just out there trying to make more baby Sasquatch.
Yeah, Sasquirts.
Sasquirts. Right? That's what you need.
If you have any sightings of Sasquirts or anything else you'd like to share with us, we would love to hear your story. You can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can also call the show, 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD.
Word.
Let's not forget about our sponsors. AG1 is offering new subscribers a free $76 gift when you sign up.
Hey-o.
You'll get a welcome kit, a bottle of D3K2, and 5 free travel packs.
How many?
5 free travel packs in your first box. So make sure to check out drinkag1.com/expanded to get this offer. That's drinkag1.com/expanded to start your new year on a healthier note. And IQ Bar. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping.
Hey-o.
To get your 20% off, text EXPANDED to 64,000. That's right. Text expanded to 64,000. Cam?
Yes, sir.
Spring's here.
Yes, sir.
Garden's getting ready.
Yes, sir.
The winds are blowing. The pollen's are blowing.
Turkeys are gobbling.
What do you got planned for your next week?
I'm going to try
anything special?
I don't know. I feel like I need to go get some turkey action on, but no, I really don't have anything too special planned out.
But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with not having a plan, right?
I'm just taking it easy, just taking it day by day, finding out what's coming.
I make up things that I have to do, because if I don't, my wife will give me things to do.
Assign you.
She won't let me just relax.
That's why you have to go to your office and then hide.
I got to hide like an Xbox up there. So, because I wasn't aware of this, but my brother, I recently had dinner with my brother and his family. He showed me a video. This was just like 2 days ago, and I showed it to you before we recorded.
Yeah,
his son, Rhett, playing this video game. It was The Predator. It was called like Predator Battleground or something. I don't remember the name of it.
It looks fun.
You can be, what is it, the Yuntja? Isn't that what they call the Predator?
Yeah, something.
Their species name, Yuntja.
I can't remember.
And you can cloak yourself.
I don't know how it's pronounced.
You can cloak yourself. You can shoot things. You can even make it say, want some candy? I'm like, dude, I don't have a console, but I might have to go pick one up.
I used
one just to play that game.
I wished it was like you could go online like Call of Duty and have like Predator battles like that. That would be pretty fun.
I think you can play the game online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean,
I probably have lost the ability now. I probably don't have the reactions it takes anymore.
Yeah, no, I haven't played in years.
I get chewed up.
When we were younger, we used to play a lot, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, you didn't.
All the time. It's what we can do. Now we just do this.
Now we do this.
Chase grandchildren around.
Well, I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.